This is the Radical Geek signing off. But coming up next is Nutty Bites, with your geek queen, Nutty Nuchas, and her upside down and flying co-host, Tech. So sit back, enjoy, and don't touch that dial on your podcatcher.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuchas, and...
Hi, I'm Tech.
And this is just a quick little fun chat for you. We're going to be talking about this new game that Tech is playing called...
Subnautica. I'll correct you, it's not new. It came out in 2016. It's new to me.
New to you, and you finished it.
I did.
So we can now talk about it.
Yes, it's one of the very rare games that I've actually finished.
You've finished a few.
Yeah, not nearly as many as I play.
Yeah, you've been into finishing them a lot more recently, though. Mm-hmm. You also have this habit when you start a game and then you restart the game and then you restart the game.
Right, because I forget where I was going and I forget like all the stuff that's in my inventory, and I'd rather just restart than deal with relearning.
And there have been times where, like, if you pick a class, and then you want to play it all over again.
Yeah, or a different class or something. Yeah. Right. So
what do you love about Subnautica?
Subnautica is a wonderful puzzle game. It's not a puzzle at all. It's a survival game. The idea is that you're in a spaceship. The spaceship crashes on a water planet. You escape in a little escape pod. And the game, the opening tutorial is you escaping in the escape pod and then waking up in your life raft and looking out and seeing the wreck of your ship floating in the distance, and you find yourself on a water planet. There is nothing on the surface whatsoever except your pod and that wrecked spaceship that you can't go on because it's on fire. You're dying of thirst, you're dying of hunger, you have very limited supplies and a broken replicator on your pod. As you dive under the surface, you realize that there is an entire ecosystem underneath you, and you have to start finding resources to fix the parts of your ship and then build things that allow you to go further away from your pod and deeper to find more food, more water, more resources, other life pods, and other things to figure out why you crashed and how you're going to get off the planet. And you eventually go deeper and deeper and farther away and encountering all kinds of wonderful oceanic life. It is a fantastic game because there's very little talking. There's no other NPCs. It's just you on a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And your spaceship crashes, and they don't tell you which way to go. They don't tell you whether to go up or down, left or right, north or south. You get to decide all of that. You get to decide the priorities of play. What's more important to you? A stable food source, stable water supply, exploring, finding parts, building things. Eventually, you can start building bases. And there's all kinds of cosmetic things that you can do. Do I want lights around my base? Do I want it to be a vertical tower? Do I want things like this? Do I want to organize like that? It's all up to you and how you play. And you can waste so many hours just finding that last piece of titanium you need to build the new moon pool that you don't really need, but you want one because it would look kind of cool. And then you need this and you need that and building this. And
so you described this to me as a mashup between Spore and...
What would I describe?
Well, you have in the past. I can't remember what it was.
Let's say Spore and Half-Life.
That was it. Yeah.
A little bit.
Now, one of the things that's really neat about this, and so I think that this will work for pretty much gamers of all ages, is you never shoot anyone.
You don't have to, no.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's No Man's Sky.
It was No Man's Sky in the water.
Yeah, it's No Man's Sky underwater. It is a lot like No Man's Sky. It's a lot like Half-Life because it's a first-person sort of a puzzle game. It's like No Man's Sky in that it's an open world that no one tells you where to go, and it's up to you to explore and survive.
But like I said, like, you didn't shoot anyone. There was nobody to shoot or fight. Leviathans might try to eat you.
Right, it's not a combat game. Yeah. It's not a shoot 'em up. It's not you versus the planet. It's the planet versus you. It's you are the foreign invader in this ecosystem, and there are sharks that are going to try to eat you. But you can't shoot the shark in the face with anything. I mean, you can get a little submarine with torpedoes later on, but I never built them because I never needed to fight anything. I could just swim away or drop a decoy or go into a cave or do all these other things that I didn't have to do any combat. And even at the end, when you fight the big boss, quote, quote, no spoilers, it's not a fight.
Yeah.
It's another puzzle that you have to solve. And when you solve the puzzle – you get off the planet. Actually, when you solve the puzzle, they just sort of say, you can leave anytime you want, and they leave it at that. And then it's up to you to, oh, I guess I should start trying to get off the planet now. And
or you can just stay.
Right, or you can just stay, and you can build a bunch of stuff. But it is a fantastic, I haven't had the feeling of a game like this since Half-Life.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you threw your controller while playing this game.
No, it is so chill.
And you would sit down, and it would calm you down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get very into our video games, and it kind of amps us up more than what we're wanting.
Sure, and that can be fun sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking that at all.
Having that stress, you know, in a good racing game or in a competitive game or something. Yeah, you know, that stress or a good puzzle game. You know, a good game of Tetris will get your heart rate up a bit.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. This isn't like that. This is just, the music is beautiful and ambient.
The visuals are gorgeous.
It is probably the prettiest game I have ever played. And that's saying a lot. And it is just so much fun to what's around that next bend? What's in that cave? What's around that hill? What is next to find? Oh, it's a big giant shark. Okay. I don't want to go there. I want to go around here. And then you find things and, oh, I found a new resource. What can I build with that? Oh, I can build a blueprint now. Oh, I can build this new part. What does that new part do? I don't know. Oh, it allows me to do this. Where? Oh, now that I have this, I can go here. And it just, the game just sort of evolves. And at first it starts off with being a raw survival game. And then it turns into an exploration game as you develop more.
And the game is complete.
Yep.
You don't have to buy more things.
Nope.
You're not waiting for the DLC. They didn't ship it too soon.
No, it did do early access in 2016, yeah. And the game is pretty cool in how they do their development with their open access people, and right now they're working on the sequel.
Cool.
Called Sub-Zero, which is going to be, it's going to be on the same planet, but it's going to deal with Arctic waters.
Oh, nice.
Dealing with glaciers and icebergs and stuff. It looks really, really cool, and they're building it with the people that are helping them in the early access alpha, in that not only do you get to like give them feedback and bugs and things in the games that you're playing, but you're also invited to they have a forum for a development forum where you get to give them advice on things to build and how to build it and graphical changes and paint this color and this should really do this and this module needs to do that because it works with this. And so they allow the people, their patrons and the people that are helping with the development to actually help the design team making the game.
Cool.
Which is really neat to see. But it's not an EA cash grab title with microtransactions. It was done by a small development team of, I think, less than a dozen people. It came out in 2016 for PC.
It's not one of those games that delivered it before it was done.
No, I got it on the PlayStation Network. I paid $40 for it. I got about 40 or 50 hours of gameplay out of it.
Do you know if it's cross-console?
Well, it's available for PC. It's available on PlayStation. I don't know if it's out for Xbox, but there's no multiplayer.
Right.
So there is no cross-console play. No.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Like, is it on all consoles?
Yes. Yeah. There is no multiplayer. It's not a combat game, which I know this is turning off a lot of people that want to like compete and shoot things, but I recommend giving this a chance.
Well, I mean, even if you do compete and shoot things, you don't want to do that all the time.
No, it's just a great little chill adventure, and it is super, super fun. And
I think the obvious person to recommend this to is somebody that, say, enjoys Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend this to, say, your mother?
I think Mom would go absolutely nuts for this game. I think this is the type of thing that Mom likes, exploring and discovery games. So my mom loves things like Metroid Prime and all of the Zelda games.
Spyro,
where you walk around in a world and find things. Yeah. I think Mom would do very, very well with Subnautica. But no, there is no but. It's just it's a very good game. It's very, very chill. It's very relaxed. It's super pretty. It's not without its flaws, though.
Mm-hmm.
The music's a little repetitive in that there's not enough tracks for a long game.
So but it's nice sounding.
It's beautifully ambient. There's just, I just want more of it. Or if they're not going to do that, if they're going to have a limited score, at least give us the option to go in and add our own tracks of music to it.
Maybe that'll be in the next one.
Maybe. And there are some graphical issues. Now, I played with it on the PlayStation, so I don't know if this is PS4 related or if it's buggy code, but there's a lot of pop-in. There's a lot of time where you'll be flying along in your submarine and you'll get, you know, around a corner and the graphics haven't fully been rendered and then they just sort of pop in as you're flying along and you're going to a hill and you see the hill and it's bare and then a tree or some coral pops up on it because it just got rendered. So it is, it does have some graphical pop-ins. There are some, sometimes the pop-in works in your favor. Like you're trying to dive down to a cave and it hasn't fully rendered the ocean floor yet. So you can actually clip through the floor and then go into the cave and then the graphics pop in around you. But now you have to find your way out of the cave.
Yeah.
So there, you know, it's not a perfect game. It does have those graphical niggles do get in the way quite a bit. But yet again, I'm not sure if that's a PlayStation thing or if that's a game code thing.
Yeah,
because I have watched a lot of people play this game on YouTube. I've been watching it for a little while now, and I've never seen those issues. So it may just be a PlayStation thing.
Okay,
but while it affected my gameplay, it wasn't a game ender. You know, it wasn't a thing that made me throw the controller down in rage because the graphics sucked. It's just, this game is super, super pretty. And then sometimes you get a peek behind the curtain and you see how it's rendering, you know?
Yep. Is there anybody that you would think would not like this game? Like any type of gamer that is not interested in this?
Yeah, if you're a hardcore first-person shooter fan.
And you don't like playing anything else?
If you're into games for the twitchiness, if you like that sort of a fast-paced game, you're not going to find it here. Yeah. This is a chill exploration game, and it is a lot of fun, but if that's not your speed, if you are more of a, if you enjoy things that are more turn-based as opposed to real-time, if you like role-playing games that have more of a story or things with a more developed cast, if you like things with romance options, if you like things with more puzzles, maybe this isn't for you, but the puzzle in this is surviving. So it's not, you know, put the blocks in order, but it's where do I find that type of coral that I need to make that type of battery?
Like the world is a puzzle.
Right, exactly.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
And there's a beautiful mystery involved that I won't spoil, that I won't talk about, that you just get embroiled in this mystery and There's no dialogue.
There's no written story.
No, the only dialogue you get is you find other life pods from the ship and you get audio logs or written logs from the other ships and from the other survivors. And they point you in directions.
Excuse me.
There are dialogues that there are things that point you in directions, but they just give you vague clues. Then you have to decipher those vague clues to find where they are and then get the things and then move on.
Cool. Very cool. Where would this compare for you compared to, say, No Man's Sky?
Better than No Man's Sky.
All right.
Even better than No Man's Sky Next. Mm-hmm. No Man's Sky Next is, which is, you know, after 2 years, it's all the bug fixes and patches to create an entirely different game than what launched and fixed all the issues and is absolutely wonderful and has multiplayer, but it's nowhere near as pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nowhere near as chill because there's a lot of things in No Man's Sky that can kill you a lot faster than you can in Subnautica. Uh-huh. And I honestly care less about the story. No Man's Sky is great, and I always go back and play it a little bit more, but Subnautica is better, but it's much, much shorter.
Cool.
Because you can play No Man's Sky for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours in these procedurally generated planets, and every planet is different, and every planet is unique, and every planet can be named and discovered, and there's a 100% chance that every time you play, you will find something that no one else that has ever played this game will see.
So now that you're done,
you're not going to see that in Subnautica.
So, what do you rate this?
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. That's pretty good. Which,
nine out of 10 peeper fish.
Beeperfish.
Yes.
It's awesome. So what? Oh, and let's not forget to mention your favorite fish in the game.
My favorite fish in the game.
The cuttlefish?
Yeah, the cuttlefish.
With two D's.
He's a cuttlefish.
He's cuddles.
Yes. Well, he's like a little octopus thing with these big eyes, and he's kind of cute, and you can feed him snacks, and he just sort of floats around in your little aquarium. If you find the cuttlefish eggs, so good luck finding the cuttlefish eggs. They're kind of hidden, but they're fun.
So now that you finish playing,
yep.
What's next? What are you playing now?
I'm going back to the same old games that I always play. I'm playing World of Warships now. I'm back into Dragon Age Inquisition for a little bit until we move. I'm waiting for Subnautica Sub-Zero and something else to cross my radar. I don't know yet.
I'm going to prompt you. Mm. You said to me after playing this, you said something, was it this one? I can't remember, or was it another one, about how you don't want to buy games when they come out anymore because you like them just...
Yeah, no, I'm done with early access, and I'm done with buying into alphas because I'm not a big forum guy, and I'm not a big development guy, so I'm not that guy that's going to get involved and write bug fixes and bug patches and bug reports to help develop. I think that's great. I think it's a wonderful tool for people that want to do that, and if there was a game out there that I really cared about, that maybe I would help do that, but, you know, Star Citizen.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to play Star Citizen since Wing Commander 4. It's not out yet. I'm still waiting. And I'm going to keep waiting. And I'm not going to play it until it's even somewhere near done.
Yeah. And with the trend of new games, just because it's out for public release doesn't mean it's done.
No. And I'm going to wait a little bit and let them get some bug patches and fixes in place. And then I'm going to move on. But I'm waiting. There's nothing really on my radar right now in the near future. I mean, E3 just happened. They announced a bunch of releases. So, you know, I'm going to get Final Fantasy VII Remake and some of these other games that are coming out. But I'm going to...
Cyberpunk.
Oh, my God. Cyberpunk.
2040?
2077.
Oh, 2077?
Looks so good. I don't even care that the internet's boyfriend is in it.
I don't know why he's the internet's boyfriend.
That's his new title now. It's Keanu Reeves, the internet's boyfriend.
I don't know. It does not make sense to me. Somebody explain this to me.
You know what? I think it's the power of the beard.
It's not a good beard.
No, but everybody likes Riker better with the beard.
It's true.
Everybody likes Sting better with the beard. Everybody likes Keanu better with the beard, but everybody just seems to have collectively forgotten that this is the guy from Bill and Ted.
But when he first grew the beard and he did Much Ado About Nothing, he was awful and everybody hated him for it. Apparently the second beard is what he needed. I don't know. Somebody write in, explain to me, why is Keanu the internet's boyfriend? I'm not hating on him.
No.
I have in the past, but I'm not hating on him.
Oh, and by the way, can we get a Bill and Ted 3?
They're working on it. They keep tweeting about it.
Sad note, no Rufus.
No.
Oh.
No. Well, this is what happens.
We miss you, George.
You wait too long, people die. It happens.
We miss you, George.
But I don't understand why he's the internet's boyfriend. I will say, and I'll go more into detail in August when I do Dinner and a Movie, I loved him playing himself in that Netflix movie, I'll Always Be Your Maybe, because he played himself as a super jerk.
Oh, it was really
Hollywood, whatever. It was fantastic. So I don't know. Somebody write in, explain that to me. Any other game news?
If there's a game you'd like me to play, my Steam account is... I'm not going to do that. No.
If there's a game you'd like him to play, you may suggest it.
Yeah.
And he might play it.
Suggest it on Facebook.
And then we can talk about it.
Then we'll talk about it.
But, we're not going to ask people to buy us games. That's a lot of money.
No, but
it's not like, you know, Mushroom Doctors.
No. Yeah, if you'd like me to get a degree in space myconology. But if there's a game out there that you're super passionate about, that you really, really enjoy.
Or that, something that you just think tech specifically will like.
That isn't Destiny.
Yes.
Then why don't you contact us on the Book of Faces?
Yes.
And let us know. And especially if it's a game out there, if there's a PlayStation game out there that you are playing that you want to play with us, Well, PSN is a wonderful tool, and I have no problems with that. I think that'd be great. If there's a so patrons, friends, podcasters, listeners, if there's a game out there that you like that is super, super fun, that you think we'd enjoy, that we could play with you, you know, Nutty is huge into the puzzle games.
Yeah. I will say, just because you suggested something doesn't always mean we'll play it.
No.
Because there may be things that we know we're not going to like.
Right.
Like Destiny.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, yeah. The only good part of Call of Duty. Mm. The zombie bonus round.
The zombie bonus round was always cool. Some of the single player campaigns were great in the early Modern Warfare games. The pistol slide across the bridge at the end of the first one. So good. The level of sneaking into Pripyat. Yeah, you go into Pripyat.
So things that Nutty definitely will not be playing.
Yeah.
Things that with jumping puzzles.
Yeah, no jumping puzzles
no
for
jumping
Nutty.
No jumping puzzles for Nutty. I hate it. I hate it so much. You played the new Metal Gear Solid not that long ago.
Yeah, 5. Came out a couple years ago.
But you finally played it.
I finally played it. It's hilariously bad. It's like a bad B-movie.
I particularly like the...
Oh, the Fulton extraction device is such a meme. It is so hilarious now.
Yeah. You finished that too, didn't you?
No.
No?
No, there's a mechanic that changes about halfway through the game that made it kind of dull.
Oh.
So.
You finished Red Dead Redemption too. That was really good.
That was an amazing game.
We will not spoil anything, but dang, that is good.
I will spoil one thing. Mm. There's a song.
Oh, yes.
That plays at the end of the game, which... is a wonder. I hate country. It is a wonderful country song.
But is it country or folk? It's somewhere. It's yeah.
It's definitely country. It then plays.
But it's Willie Nelson.
Well, that's the thing. It plays again during the end credits, but the end credit version is sung by the songwriter, which is Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
And the Willie Nelson version is fantastic. It's not available on any of his albums. It's only available on the soundtrack for RDR2.
Yeah.
If you're a Willie Nelson fan, if you're a country fan, if you're a music fan, if you're a video game fan, you have to listen to the song.
Yeah, should check it out.
It is called Cruel, Cruel World.
It's really good.
Yeah, really good song.
Really good song. So other than game news, we just talk a little personal stuff. We're moving. You may have heard this on other podcasts, but I don't think we've specifically talked about it here.
Yeah, the Nutty Bites Studios northern base is moving slightly south
to a area with lots of islands.
Lots of islands, but we are still
a thousand or so.
Hint, hint. But yeah, I'm going to school. I am on a 1-year postgrad university course, which is really funny for a guy with no bachelor's, but I'm taking 6 500 level university credits as part of a course for my job, and that will get us posted into the National Capital Region in a couple of years. But for now, it's 1 year of a master's degree, so I don't know how much podcasting I'm going to do. I don't know how much of anything I'm going to do because I don't know what my course load's going to be.
You
like.
Might hear a lot less of
"Hi, I'm Tech," and you might hear a lot more of.
Oh. But I'll still be here.
You'll still
because
be here.
I'll still have time to podcast.
Absolutely.
And everything else. And he'll be grumping away. We're going from a 3-bedroom house to a 2-bedroom apartment
with a lot of our stuff in storage.
Yeah, with our stuff in storage. So that's going to be an adjustment. Basically because there was no available military housing, and where we're going, the market is not very good, and the time we're moving in is not the time when people move in. And yeah, we got what we could, and we're paying almost twice for less space. So that'll be interesting.
But it's a good place in a good neighborhood,
yep.
And I think we're getting the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do
fine. We did pretty good. Hopefully the walls aren't so thin that I can't podcast at night, but I'm pretty sure we'll be able to figure workarounds. That'll all be fine.
I think we'll be great.
Yeah. It does mean that still no Balticon for next year because we'll be moving again in a year, which was a big reason why we didn't go this year.
Right. And the timing of Balticon is around the time that I have to do my big final project.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's just not happening.
Just not happening.
Just not happening. But, you know, maybe we're hoping to find another convention. I did go to Mysticon this past year. I might go back there again. We're looking around. There is that, what is it, CanCon or something that happens in October Katie Brisky goes to. So, I mean, we'll keep you posted on any conventions that
we
decide.
And when we get to Ottawa, it means we are also falling to within the clutches and grasps of one of our patrons. We're looking at you, Mike.
Oh, yeah, Mike's in Ottawa.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Mike of the Redacted Files podcast.
Yes, which we've played his promo before. That'll be really cool.
Yep.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, that should be a lot of fun. But yeah, so you'll be hearing, you know, from us, the schedule. You will still get 2 episodes a month. I will be doing, Dog Days again this year. If you don't want me to do dinner in a movie again, let me know. But so far, I've had a couple of people tell me that they really enjoy them. So if you do want me to do dinner in a movie again, tell me. Because, you know, I throw in a little bit of what's going on in the life, but also, you know, I've got a bunch of things I'm going to be talking about. You know, Lucifer's one of them.
Mm.
That's been fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some new shows to talk about.
I'm going to steal a line from one of our big daddies. And on that note,
this has been the Talk Nerd. No, I'm sorry. This has been the Nutty Bites podcast.
Hi, I'm Jason.
Nope.
No, I'm not.
Nope. A little short.
Little short.
Jason.
little short. I can't cook and I don't ball.
What are you talking about? You can't cook.
Compared to Jason, I can't.
Yes, you can cook. You just cook different things. Don't say you can't cook, Mr. You know, you've converted people to ribs and you get an eighth on stealing ribs out of women's hands.
Yeah, well,
there is that. All right.
That.
You're less obsessed over your meat.
I do like Jason's meat.
You like Jason's meat, but you're not obsessed over your own meat.
All right.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining us for the Nutty Bites podcast. I'm going to thank the patrons on the outro, and you can contact us by listening to all the links in the outro. But again, please let us know what games do you want us to play, and do you like dinner in a movie? Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
I want to thank the patrons. If you're a patron of Nutty Bites, by going to patreon.com/nukejazz, I think it is, or just go to nimlast.org/donate. You can access that, or you can do it through PayPal. And you can donate at the $1 rank. Donation, you can get thanked every month, and then you get the opportunity to have your promos played. So if you have a project, if it's a podcast or anything else that you're doing, send us a promo or send us a script and we'll throw it in the Nutty Bites episodes, and we always play the patrons before we play anyone else's. If you are at the $5 level, you get art once a year. And if you are at the $10 level, you get a t-shirt once a year. And there are a couple other levels. Right now, thanks to the patrons, you get 2 episodes a month instead of the original one. We just want to thank Aaron Jackson. We want to thank Jason Banks. We want to thank Susanna, Andy Luke, Shane, the Radical Geek, Justine, Mike, Steve Pritchard, Kinsey, Ken Kennedy, Greg Larson, Patrick Scafito, Will, Rich the TT, Ian, Harold, Melissa A. Bartell, Lynette McFadden, Susan, Zach Mann, and our PayPal patron, Dagny, and then our in real life sometimes, Nick. Thank you so much.
Note to self, if an irradiated man who happens to be like the third copy that you've run into ever tells you, don't go in there, don't go in there.
The Redacted Files is an actual play podcast.
Ooh, and a natural 20.
Is anyone just a little discomforted by the fact that she gets so excited with a natural 20?
With tales of horror and suspense.
And he wishes you a good afternoon.
I go home to the nightmares I will inevitably have, told one bad die roll at a time.
That's your attack?
Yes.
Stop laughing at us.
Visit us at theredactedfiles.com, where you can give us a listen or join us in telling the next story.
You can investigate or you can go down the stairs.
I think we'll go. Do you guys think we'll go? I think we'll go.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.